WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
One of those questions people love to debate is whether there was ever an American Beatles. A rock historian, Ed Ward, thinks the Love and Spoonful came close, even though they lacked the brilliant chemistry of Lennon and McCartney. The Spoonful drew on American folk music and some amazing songwriting talent. Here's Ed's retrospective of the band.
You know I've been wanting you my whole life through, and now that I'm your guy, I'm gonna live and die for only you, baby, baby, now you're gonna know.
In the days before psychedelia and long guitar solos came around, and pop music wasn't a dirty word, the Love and Spoonful was probably the greatest band in America. Drawing on folk roots, writing classic songs, they could have gone far. John Sebastian was the son of a harmonica virtuoso of the same name, and he was a player in the New York folk scene, first coming to attention as a member of the Even Dozen Jug Band, a temporary assemblage that made a record for Elektra in 1964. In those days, there were folkies who hated the Beatles, and those who thought they were a good idea, and Sebastian was firmly in the second camp, as was his friend Mama Cass Elliot. It was in her apartment one night that he met a guy she'd been dying to introduce him to, Zalman Yanofsky, a Canadian folk singer and guitarist. The two hit it off, and before long, they'd poached half of a Long Island bar band and added bassist Steve Boone and drummer Joe Butler. Sebastian had also attracted a very gung-ho producer, Eric Jacobson, who was well-connected in the record business. Before long, the band, who had named themselves the Lovin' Spoonful after a line from a Mississippi John Hurt song, was playing regularly at a coffee house in Greenwich Village to some leftover beatniks. One night, Sebastian looked down from the stage and saw a young teenage girl dancing alone to the music and knew something had happened. That night, he went home and wrote a song. Weirdly, it took them 6 months of shopping the tape around before they found anyone who thought it was any good. Charles Koppelman and Don Rubin had just started something called Kama Sutra Records and had a deal with MGM, but no artists. They had the Spoonful finish an album's worth of material, had their manager send them off on the road, and by the summer of 1965, Do You Believe in Magic was in the top 10. Suddenly, girls were screaming at them, and the shows they were playing got bigger. Magic would be the first of 7 straight top 10 singles, the third of which came off their next album, which was named for it.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn.
Daydream was a great album. Far less dependent on traditional material than the previous one, it was filled with great John Sebastian tunes, often written with Steve Boone. But there was tension building between Yanofsky and Sebastian, which came from a number of sources. Zal didn't think he was being well used in the context of the band, particularly in the studio. And then there was the matter of John stealing and then marrying his girlfriend. On the other hand, between incessant touring and yet another album gestating in the studio, plus 2 film soundtracks to work on, there wasn't a whole lot of time to fight. And the hits kept on coming, too, including the anthem for the summer of 1966.
Summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright.
it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
It seemed like nothing could stop them, but of course something could, the San Francisco Police Department. Late in the year, Zal and Steve Boone were busted for pot, and Zal, still a Canadian citizen, was told that if he didn't name his source, he'd be deported. Figuring he could use the spoonful's resources to get the guy a good lawyer, Zal gave him to the cops, but unfortunately the guy's lawyer wasn't so good, and also the last place you'd want a story like this to get out was in the Haight-Ashbury in 1966. The Love and Spoonful were narcs. By all accounts, Zanofsky became harder and harder to deal with after this, and the band split into pro and anti-Zal camps. Their next big hit was virtually a John Sebastian solo record.
Come and talk of all the things we did today. Hear and laugh about our funny little ways while we have a few minutes to breathe. And I know that it's time you must leave. But darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you dawdle. My darling.
By June 1967, Zal was a solo act, replaced by another rocking folky, Jerry Yester. Yester played keyboards, not guitar, but he was an ace arranger. But by the end of the year, it was obvious. The Love and Spoonful weren't going anywhere, and it was time to call it a day. Zal eventually returned to Canada and opened an acclaimed restaurant. John made his famous appearance at Woodstock and later made zillions from his song Welcome Back, which was used as the theme of Welcome Back Cotter on TV. The other two guys hook up with Jerry Yester from time to time and tour as The Spoonful. Not a sad ending at all, but not magic.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. Daydream, which was released by The Love and Spoonful in 1966, was reissued this year.